It's Sunday morning, May 15th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service today. That your spirit would flow, that we would be able to enter into a place with you in your light, in your love, in your truth, Lord. Shine your light on your word so that we would recognize that what is there is what you mean as far as your truth goes. Cause that good work to be done. And Lord, open our hearts to you that we would be able to receive all that you have for us. That it would not be on some surface basis, but that it would sink into our spirit, our heart, our soul, or whatever. Do that good work by your spirit. Amen.
I don't know that I can get it untangled, but I got one of the best revelations I think that I've ever gotten, and it says in Romans 8:26, it says, "The Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." That's encouraging, isn't it? We don't have an idea how we're supposed to pray. And Jesus had said at one point, he said that you know, when they pray, that they use their own Lord help me. I don't want to be stumbled this quick. Well, here it says, and my mind will not let me use the word.
Will it let you use a similar word? Because you give us an idea, we can guess at what it is.
You consume it upon your own lusts. That's what I was looking for. You know, he said, when you pray, what you pray for, you consume upon your own lusts, or at your own, for your own interests. But here it says, the Spirit helps us in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And the only prayer that is acceptable is in accordance with God's will.
Good Lord, yes.
Any other prayer is not really, does not really do the thing. And you know how it says in Isaiah, "With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." And God doesn't speak with stammering lips and another tongue. The Holy Spirit is speaking through tongues to these people, and it's actually God doing the talking. God is talking to them through them. And so it says in the second verse of 1 Corinthians 14, it says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, because no man understands it. In the Spirit he speaks mysteries. And (clears throat) even Jesus, you know, he says, which shows the humanity of him, he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And so Jesus had his own will, which is a major point. You know, sometimes we think that he was totally in line with God, and he was. But he was still a man. And there were times that he was I don't want to say uncertain. That's not the right word, but there were times that he says, we know what his will was. And it says that he prayed with such anxiety that drops of blood came out of the parts of his skin. So he knew what was coming, and he would just assume that it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Is that acceptable?
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
I would say it was. But it says, I realize that God wants us to pray His way. And that's the only acceptable prayer form. And he labels through the scriptures. I mean, right now I'm a little confused, but through the scriptures, he gives us the picture of what how he wants us to pray. And that's one of the reasons he gave us tongues. I'm lost. Mm-hmm. I'm good, but I'm lost.
Well, there is what is it that goes on when we are edified, when we are edified by ourselves? You know, what happens then anyway? You're built up in the Spirit, but what does that do? Does it make us more in tune with Him, I suppose?
He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And he's built up by it. Huh. And I have been many, many times. And so have you. The other night we had, a pretty good time when we were speaking about, you know, the receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I was blessed by what I heard through both Glenn and Josh, because in their minds they haven't received it yet, but at the same time. I got 60 years in this, mm-hmm. And I remember listening to Russ Burnett. That was Don Burnett's dad, and he was as a young man, he was a kind of a tail end part of the Azusa Street of Revival. And, it went on for a few years. And anyway, he believed in speaking in tongues and so forth, and he wanted it, and he didn't get it. I think it was like 5 years before he finally ended up receiving it. But meanwhile, he was so convinced that it was real, he was praying for other people to get it, and they were. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, receiving the Holy Spirit is a lot easier than what we make it out to be. Because it's a condition of our mind that messes us up. And I didn't know anything about it when I got it. And which probably helped me. You know? But we used to have a lot of people receiving the Holy Spirit here. And Charlie's wife, Jean, used to pray for a lot of the kids and stuff that got it. And so it wasn't a different day, but it was kind of a different thing for us. And my thing is that we need that same freshness in us somehow.
It was kind of strange. I remember the church used to just to ask people to come up, is anyone, want to speak in tongues? And people would pray. You know, they just come up and pray for you and stuff like that. And obviously we were way more, lots more people here. And I remember the particular, it was a Sunday night, a Friday night, a Wednesday night, who knows. And I went up with several other people. We were all praying. And the Lord gave me the speaking of tongues. Now, the thing was, it's almost like a blibbit of a few words that you're going, am I speaking Spanish? Do I know French? I mean, that's kind of what is kind of coming in your mind. You're going, this doesn't make sense. And all of a sudden, you know, you're shalom mana, you know, and you're going, is this really? Well, it really speaks to your spirit. Okay. And the very odd thing about that whole thing is we sat down and I think you were up in front and asked, did anyone receive the Holy Spirit tonight? And Courtney and I are sitting in the same pew and all of a sudden I raised my hand and he raised his hand. We didn't know that. So I'm just encouraging that in all the years of listening to people speaking in tongues, I remember one gentleman, he only spoke the same five words. That's all he ever spoke. I mean, it was like, okay, you knew who he was, and he would, and it was the same five words. Didn't take away from what he was saying. It was just the same five words. It's like, oh, I know who that is.
Who is this?
he's trying not to name names.
Well, actually, I think it was Gordon Johnson. But
yeah, I wonder if that's who it was.
And it was like the same five words because we went, oh, that's great. You know? I mean, and
I never counted as many as five.
Oh,
or between two and three.
Yeah, see, okay, I'm over exaggerated. Angela sounded to me like a rodeo or something. You know, see, and that's why there is no right or wrong to speaking in tongues.
No.
Whatever, all of a sudden,
because
I'm going, why am I?
No, it's funny. All I'm saying, we talked about this on Tuesday night, and I did not mention this to Susan Rollins.
Oh,
so it's interesting that she picked up right on this thought.
With Gordy, I was impressed that he was comfortable with just the word.
That's right.
He was very comfortable saying those same words over. I mean, that was it. Nothing more, nothing less. And he would say it for hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, and that's just what came. I mean, so I'm saying, don't ever think that speaking in tongues is something that has to be like an elaborate, you know, I have to come up with at least 27 words when it's not you who's doing it. And when you said what it was, because I was trying to remember what it was, and on the land, it was like not something I would have thought. But it's his speaking in tongues. Ours is everybody else's individual. I mean, if you go around and say, speak in tongues, it's all different. And God blesses us all with, and sometimes I think we speak in tongues and don't actually know we are. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. Because sometimes you're going, oh, that word just didn't make a lot of sense, but that's okay. So I'm saying, give yourself the freedom to let yourself speak whatever you want and not think, well, would that be tongues or would that not be? Don't overthink it, because if I had overthought it that night that I went up for prayer, I would still be overthinking it.
And the thing is, we don't deserve it.
No.
So we haven't done anything bad enough to not have it. And I got a good example of that, and that's the Apostle Paul. Ananias, who was kind of afraid of Paul, everybody was, and God sent him to pray for Ananias to get his eyes healed, and he got filled with the Spirit. And this is only weeks after Paul was on his way to Damascus. Was Damascus in Syria, or where was it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. He was on his way to punish other people that were Christians and so forth. And he had already taken the responsibility for the stoning of Stephen and killing him. And so he was responsible for a number of other people being killed one way or another. And he was on his way to Damascus with letters from the authorities to punish anybody that he could find. And as he's going along, a bright light, and of course we know the story, he came from above and it stopped him. And he said, Lord, who is it? And he says, I am Jesus of Nazareth. And it's quoted in a number of different ways, but in one place that's what it says. And I'm thinking, you mean that you're the bright light is Jesus from Nazareth? That doesn't make sense. But he got filled with the Spirit. As a matter of fact, he says in 1 Corinthians 14, I said, I thank God I speak with tongues more than all of you. And I have been I don't even know what the word is. Nonstop affected by this thing that we need to put some emphasis again on it. Until we got it. Until everybody is. It edifies. It's a God-given gift. And you didn't do anything bad enough not to get it.
I do find it puzzling because, you know, there are those here that do not speak in tongues, and yet it's clear that the Lord uses them.
Oh, sure.
In mighty ways. It kind of, you know, it's hard to figure the Lord sometimes. We give advice as to how to get tongues. Well, hooey, there's no such thing as doing it right and not, you know. Lord gives it to you, you get it. If he doesn't give it to you, you don't get it. It's as easy as that. So it's not following the formula right.
No.
You could do the formula totally wrong. Lord gives you tongues, you're going to have tongues. Yeah. And you can follow that formula so perfectly, do it just totally right.
Well, it
Lord doesn't give you tongues, you don't have tongues.
In the book of Acts it says, and this is for, you know, you and your children and whoever the Lord calls.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Yeah. I'm starting to understand a little bit about the tongue that I never understood. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. That's what it says. Yeah.
So we can speak unto God too without tongues. Mm-hmm. So it's not the only way.
It also talks about how some speak in tongues and some prophesy, and it's given to different people different things, and then when you come together, everybody has their piece, and then he brings it together for the edifying of the body. So that's, yeah, I definitely have a strong opinion on those things, and I think that if we learn to pray and how God wants us to pray, then nevertheless your will, I prefer this, but nevertheless your will, and that's really hard to genuinely mean from your heart's position. It's super hard to not mean, nevertheless your will, unless that will is not my will, and then I'll do it this way. You know what I mean? There's always that little kind of byline because we're human, and it's really hard not to. And it's really hard to say, nevertheless your will, and then actually be hung on a cross, mm-hmm. and actually still say they don't know what they're doing, and actually still have that compassion. But that is the love of God and his embodiment manifested through Jesus in that true love form. That no matter what we do, no matter how many times we spit in his face, he loves us. And that is awesome. And that Jesus knew and trusted that that was God's plan. And that perfect, nevertheless, your will. It says in so many places, even when we make plans, don't say, I'm going to go here and live here for a year and buy and sell and trade. But to say, God willing, I'm going to go there and live and buy and sell and trade. And that changes everything somehow, just by saying, God willing.
And if I can't be God willing, Lord, make me
right.
willing.
Right. Well, and quite often we do pray, God, do these things so I can do this other thing. And none of those things are furthering the kingdom. None of those things actually are getting our spirit where we need to be. It's just earthly things. And so in those moments when we can't pray, nevertheless, your will, and mean it in our heart might mean it, but it's hard to speak it the right way and not to ask, God, do what I want. So when we do speak in tongues, when it's needed, you know, in those moments we can connect with him. And our actual heart position and our soul then is speaking that prayer. Because it is hard to control our thoughts.
Speaking in tongues is a great thing.
Yeah.
Just plain is a,
it, yeah, it
it's
is.
A, it's a great thing, and it's something that it would be good for each one of us to have.
Mm-hmm. But if we don't, then don't.
That's right.
God has got a plan for each one, and the prophecies and the visions and the pieces and all of that. It is, those gifts are given. All of them are given, so seek to have whatever gift he has for you, and I think that he'll give it freely if we're seeking the gift that he has and the calling that he has for us.
Yeah. Another important part of that is being honest.
Mm-hmm.
If you are feeling anger, you need to be honest with the Lord when you're praying. I am angry, Lord. Help my anger.
Honesty didn't do me one lick of good when I got the tongue, so I try to come up with some merit on my end up, and I really have to scratch to find some merit. What was going on then? I don't know.
In 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 7, it's concerning the spiritual gifts, mm-hmm. and I'm reading from the New International Version. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that same one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are works of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So you've got a whole list of things. We can't pick and choose. You know, it's because he distributes them to each one just as he determines. You know?
Yeah.
And I think we have to be that patient person who is going, well, you know, okay, I like this one and I like this one. No, it doesn't happen that way. God's going, I like this one. And he determines.
I guess so. Now, our general understanding here has been that when it talks about one person or gets tongues, somebody else gets interpretation and so forth, that would be like a special tongues and interpretation, which is a little different from just everybody speaking in tongues. Our understanding is if tongues really are for everyone. There's no guarantee that our understanding has been perfect regarding that. I'd like to go back to Paul and say, hey, Paul, I have a few questions here. Perhaps you can square me, get me all straightened out here. You're right, there is that. Our understanding has been different, but who's to say that our understanding has always been right?
I mean, the whole thing, like, even with Paul, I mean, I think of Jean, okay, which is kind of weird, but she went through all this trouble with her eyes, and for a while there, she couldn't, like, see anything. And to me, that's, like, total scary, okay? I went to the tech in Wausau, which was well known for blind and deaf people, and we'd always sit around going, which would you choose? Which is a horrible thing for us to say, but as teenagers, that's what, you know, we were doing. And you think of people like Jane and then people like Gracie, Ron Suberger's granddaughter. I mean, living without eyesight, that to Paul had to be this, I mean, all of a sudden he could see fine and everything, and he'd walk in, and all of a sudden he can't see a thing. That would scare the socks off of anybody. So his walk, you know, his going through everything had to be just, you know, Lord, who is doing this to me? And I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Well, you know, I don't know if I'm making any sense. Am I making sense? Am I making sense? But I don't know. But it had to be, I mean, that you'd reach out pretty much. And I think in a sense, maybe that's why Paul had this horrific thing happen. He's killing Christians all over the place, and he gets this blindness, and he's like, okay, I'm willing now to really pay attention to whoever. And if it's you, you know, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, then I'm willing because I don't want to be like this. So sometimes it takes that horrible thing. Not that everybody has to go through it. I'm not saying that's not the way it works. But in Paul's case, he was not doing a lot of positive things for Christians. And I think God really wanted to...
attention.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I've tried this. Who knows what the Lord tried with Paul. I mean, we don't, it doesn't say... And all these other people came and talked to Paul and tried to convince him. No, it doesn't say that. We know nothing of prior other than he was killing a lot of Christians. And so God got his attention.
I think there's a great point in that, too, that he was killing Christians. Okay, so there's a few things you're not supposed to do in the commandments.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you think about, like, your super most unforgivable sin, like the thing that bothers or whatever, he was murdering Christians,
yes.
And God used him in powerful, powerful ways, obviously, and was able to forgive all things. So, me too. You know, I have not murdered Christians openly. Mm-hmm. And that is like all the commandments.
But you think, I mean, that was, he was just murdering people. I mean, that was just not a good thing. I mean, period.
Yeah.
And God was able to forgive.
Forgive, love, and use. Lumda. Glory. Glory, glory. Here's my heart, Lord, use it.
Because, I mean,
speaking of being used, I think we have a hero in the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Says the newest.
I saw it on TV.
She saw it on TV. Go ahead.
Oh.
Yeah. God puts you in the right place at the right time. And we were so glad that God put Glenn in the right place at the right time.
So I never watched the news. Glenn shared this story about his neighbor.
Okay.
They interviewed Donna and Glenn and had it on TV 13 because it's Stroke Awareness Month.
Oh, okay.
Is that why there's cars on the interview?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a great one.
It's up to God, mm-hmm. what He wants to give us. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, sometimes we want stuff and no, I don't think I want to give that to you. Mm-hmm. It's not good for you. Mm-hmm. But we think we want it, mm-hmm. but He doesn't give it to us for that reason. Mm-hmm. Maybe He's got something better or more important, mm-hmm. you know, that He can give us to be used. You know, it's our mind is not totally spiritual, so we can't even fathom what God thinks sometimes. I get astounded sometimes at the things that He does do with this human body that is so corrupt. You know,
I mentioned the other night that I prayed for with Glenn. Back in the early 1980s, there was the Holy Spirit. And we're still working on that one.
Working progress.
Right. Well, that is really something. To be staying with it for 40 years, mm-hmm. crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if they give out medals in heaven, but it seems to me Glenn's got one coming. You know, for his persistence in seeking that thing and so forth.
Is it worth it if we get it?
Well, that way it would be a little like anticlimactic at this point, wouldn't it? But maybe, yeah, that's right. Hey, that'd be kind of fun, Glenn, if you got the Holy Spirit here.
If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much
right.
more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?
He made some people wander through the wilderness for 40 years.
Yeah.
Or
it's
not just them. 40 is a kind of a good year, you know. 40.
The scripture in Matthew, it says, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And what I have done years ago, I'm trying to be very careful with this thing, is not getting isolated. So this is my favorite scripture, this is my favorite scripture. No, it's not. But I do know for sure that there's an edification in speaking in tongues that we all want. I know because I have experienced it. And let me read another scripture. Jesus went into through Samaria on his way to, I don't know where he's going, to Israel somewhere. And he stepped at this little pool of Sychar, or it was a pool in Sychar. And he met a woman here, he says, and the woman says, where do we worship in this mountain here, or do we worship in Jerusalem, and he said, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What's it mean? We started adding that to another dozen scriptures, or two dozen scriptures, and a lot of times I know where they're at. And in the process, God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, we come to the realization that truth is whatever God meant by what he said. That's what truth is. And it's not what men have interpreted it to mean necessarily. It could be. But truth is what God actually meant by what he said. And you know what? I want to know what that is.
Amen.
I'm a real stickler for truth. And I want to know what it is. You don't always know what truth is. But, you could be hearing something from somebody that's been listening and thinking he knows the truth and doesn't. It's easy. But, you know, after a while, you kind of get an inkling of what truth is.
Meditating on the word day and night helps you know what truth is.
Yeah. So if that's his, those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. You worship, if you're praying, if you're worshiping God in tongues, is that spirit?
At least so.
That's some sort of a trick question?
No. No, that's just an obvious question.
Oh, okay.
Any sort of worship seems to be in the spirit, worshiping God. That's in your spirit.
I was going to say something like that, truth. I mean, that I thought it was a trick question. Because, I mean, sometimes you can put on a worship song and you're really lost in the spirit, whether you speak in spiritual tongues or, I mean, you're just kind of taken up by, whoa, I just feel the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
I think the good point here would be worshiping in spirit. And the question is, how many ways can you do that? And I think there are many, many ways you can do that. And if you're truly worshiping in spirit, you don't even realize you're worshiping in spirit. Speaking in tongues would be one way that you would know that you're worshiping, praising God in the spirit. But there are other ways that spiritually you're doing things that you're not even aware of, because that is a definition of spirit.
I all of a sudden thought it was important to look at the definition of the word worship and what actually it is to worship, because we often think of that as like worship music and singing or make a joyful noise or something like that. But the actual definition is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. So are we not worshiping when we are taking care of our neighbor? Is that not the, that is the same thing. So when our heart's desire is to love and honor and do that, and we are caring for each other truly, with not the heart's position of I'm better than you or you owe me or in any way that it would get toward benefit us, but when we're doing those things just because of love, that is worshiping. That is constant worship. So if we can get our heart's position to that point when all the things that we do are just manifesting God and His Spirit through us, that's manifesting in us and we are His sanctuary. That is worship. That's constant worship, which comes from pulling down those strongholds, casting out the imaginations and the things that we're thinking of, and bringing all of our thoughts into subjection of Christ. So when we're thinking, I'll do this, but I sure don't want to, you know. It says, don't do things in grumbling. Don't do it in that. Do it all for the glory of God and make a joyful noise in everything. And whatever is pure and joyful and lovely, think on those things, dwell on those things. That's, I think, what God wants us to do, to worship, and how He wants us to conduct ourselves. And when we're doing that, that's kind of the church that's being built in Acts. And when it says then when they're all together in one accord and taking care of each other and doing it that, then all of a sudden the Spirit moved like a mighty rushing wind and He brought all things together and everybody understood the things of God because that was their heart's position. And that was the true desire of their heart. So I think in as much as however we pray and do and whatever, when we can get our mind into subjection and into captivity of Christ and do it that way, that is worship, constant worship, whatever gift form He gives us. The important things it says in so many places, He judges the secret place, the quiet things in your heart, the things that aren't known. That's what He's judging. And I think that's part of why praying in tongues is so important, because our heart's position might be very different than our flesh's. And it's a lot easier to give in to the thing or the temptation or the want or the desire of our flesh, and our spirit may be very willing to say whatever your plan is. And if that's, we need to be able to literally babble like a baby to be able to say, to mean whatever your will is, then He uses that tool. And that is very edifying because that's raw, whatever you want, Lord. But I think that we have to be trying to and attempting to bring in our own thoughts and say, no, test that spirit, test that thought, test that temptation. When the devil is trying to pirate our own voice and make us think that we need to control something or change something or manipulate.
Yes. Which is very hard.
I don't know that I'd be able to be on a cross and say they don't know what they're doing, but I want to get there, you know? I want to continue to not take offense, but to try and give an excuse. Because when I see him coming, I don't want to be like, oh, snap, I'm like going to be judged. I want to know that he's going to be saying, you know what, we did all this stuff, but you meant this. So I want to get my own brain to the point where I can say, I know you did this terrible stuff, but you meant this. Like, see what the good could have been.
Well, I mean, it's hard just in everyday life when you're at Walmart and someone rams you with a cart and they're practically knocking you down and you're going, okay, I'm real fine about that. You know, when you're going, that was really rude. And it makes you go, okay, a favorite saying around our house is, that's what Christians do. Because his sister coined that once on us because for as much as they didn't necessarily believe in everything, they would go have Corky's church pray because God hears them, and that's what Christians do, you know. So that's how we kind of got into that thing. But there's some truth behind going, yeah, I was just rammed with a cart. I have a bad leg. I'm hurt. But that's what Christians would do. It's kind of a check your spirit. You know, going, I have two ways of going this, and I'm running down this path right now, and I need to stop and come back and say, okay, Lord, I know they didn't mean it. It's okay. I have a bruise, but it's fine. You know, I mean, you can think things through and try to do the best you can as a Christian because we're human, and God knows we're going to fail.
I can only imagine myself in the same situation. If it was me and Jesus in the store, I'm probably the kid that's like,
yeah,
you know, ramming him in the leg nonstop. So I gotta get give an excuse to the person that does it to me on accident, because I don't mean to be doing it.
I know, and that's, I mean, and that's, you know, I often ask him for his heart's desire for me. What does he want? And the next thing I know is I'm thinking about a pot roast recipe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's where, I mean, focus and concentrate, and how do you, you know, I often thought, because we grew up by a Catholic church, I often thought being a nun would be really good, because then I could just devote full time and once you actually know a nun, they don't devote their whole time, I mean, because they're human. They still have, you know, you have to get through everything. And everybody's walk is getting through something to get to the next level.
You know, all those things you said about bumping into things and stuff like that, that's easy to say right now, but when that happens, there's a natural reaction that comes out first.
Yes.
And that's the one that gets you into trouble.
Yes.
You know, and that's what you got to get past. She could, of course, but come to that, you know, there's a lot of idiots on the road. You know. And, that first reaction is what gets you in trouble.
And that's the problem, but then, I think, you know, there's a grace period.
Well, 5 second rule. 5 seconds. Yeah.
It's what you do with that first reaction, after you made that first reaction, that's what counts, yes.
And to learn by those reactions. You repeat them and repeat them, and then you go, maybe someday you're going to go,
How many years have you been doing this first reaction stuff? Trying to break that habit.
I said maybe someday.
Well, and I think that's how we kind of, you know, I mean, in that kind of situation, sometimes, you know, when somebody cuts Courtney off or something like that, I'm going, okay, they probably have to get someone to the hospital right away. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going, okay, that's, you know.
So am I the only one that prays that there's a cop ahead and then they cut you off?
Yeah, I know.
I used to.
Never mind.
I've gotten to the point that I want to find that excuse. I want to find the, you know, maybe there's got to be some reason.
And so that I'm like, okay, there's got to be a reason to go really fast. That, you know, and they needed to, and, you know. And then I'm pulling Courtney off the ceiling. I'm kidding. He's probably the one going, they had a good reason, honey. And I'm like, yeah, right. And see that first reaction.
Right. As most of you know, if you come up behind me and startle me, I'm a jumper.
Oh.
And I know this thing should come out of my mouth and I would embarrass you, but I get caught, you know, and that's the biggest problem with me, because if I do jump and say something, it's a first reaction, but I can't help it. It's there. Then, you know, I'm just saying, things like that happen, you know. I keep training my mind not to do that first reaction, but sometimes you can't.
Well, even if you don't, you can choose not to hang on to it and to stop it.
But it comes out so fast when they start you.
Yeah.
Unless you're a jumper, if you're not a jumper, you have no idea what it's like, you know?
Anybody can get startled if you know, I mean, they're not expecting it.
Yeah. But I've been known to
some get while to
get ready to
punch somebody out almost.
I'm not a puncher, but I get startled easily, and having Quirky been in the Navy for all those years, I can make him blush.
The question I have is, you know, it says not to swear. Well, what words are really swearing? Which ones aren't?
Quirky to me.
That's not.
Pick our Quirky day.
Oh.
We got that. We all saw that.
I realize, you know, there are bad things to say and stuff. I realize that. And it's not necessarily slander, it's just bad things to say, you know. And I'm sure God's not pleased when we say them.
Well, I have to say, even growing up, I guess I was around people that just swore all the time. You know, I mean, I don't know what's more common. And whenever anybody used the Lord's name in vain, and I had nothing to do with Christianity, I always felt bad. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things that I'm going, well, that doesn't sound right. You know,
your spirit.
No.
That's my dad's go-to swear word, is the Lord's name in vain, but with the F word in the middle.
Yeah.
So he'll just be talking about the weather. And
yeah, there are some people that just talk like that. I mean, they do when you're like, what are you talking about? And, oh, the weather. Oh, well, but, no, it's just, I think it's somebody, it's a spirit thing, like you said, the spirit just didn't like.
My grandmother always used to say, sugar.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that was pretty neat. Something sweet used to get something sweet. But she's behind it was.
Always wondering.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here we go. I'm sorry.
Flesh is weak.
Yeah.
God is good.
Yeah.
The spirit is what we want.
Let's say that all week.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Lord. We thank you.
Love you all.